Today, we'd like to see the title of a building of God eternal in the heavens. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 to 21, to a number of the people through MP3 or YouTube channel on there, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What does it mean in the context, and how can we apply it to our lives? Question 2, in verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What does it mean? And what can we learn from here? Question 3. In verses 14-15, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died, and he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. What do these mean, and how can you apply these to our lives? In the last time, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We do not look at visible things, but invisible things. Not temporary things, but eternal things. Not tangible things, but intangible things. Not corruptible things, but incorruptible things. Not earthly things, but heavenly things. Not material things, but spiritual things. The priority of a Christian life is the latter things. Question 1, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the hands. Human beings is a soul, spirit, not body, made of the dust of the ground. The body is the medium by which my spirit soul expresses itself, such as feeling, thinking, believing, loving, and so on. When my spirit soul leaves the body at either death or rapture, the body immediately dissolves to the dust, while the soul immediately enters an eternal state, a building from God, eternal in heavens or new bodies. We are no more tear, death, sorrow, or crying. Every belief has gone there, mansions, a place prepared by Jesus, the house of the Lord in eternity, or a new body conformed to his glorious body. So our citizenship is in heaven for everlasting life. Even if a human present body is subject to corruption caused by sin, unlike Jesus' body, he resurrected with the perfect conditions of body, scarred with the print of the nails, he ascended bodily into heaven, and he will come again bodily to this earth, because his body was not subject to corruption as ours. Genesis 7. The Lord God formed the man of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul. Genesis chapter 3:19. In the sweat of your face you shall eat the bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Revelation 21:4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more deaths, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. John 14:2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Eternity house. Philippians 3:20, 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. John 20:25. The other disciple therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Then verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. We strongly desire to live in our habitation from heaven, a building of God eternal in heaven with Christ, or new bodies. Verse 3, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Each believer's being or soul, spirit, is not in an embodied state, but in a new body. Verse 4, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further, clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Our earnest desire is not to be unclothed from the present body, subject to groaning and burdening, such as fatigue, sickness, sorrow, death, and so on, but to be clothed with a new body, subject to eternal life with the Lord in this present body. We need to be constantly reminded of all things taught. Taught by the Lord. The corruptibility has put on incorruption. The mortality is swallowed up by life in the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ given by God, who created time and controlled time. Not controlled by time or not subjected to time. So God was, God is to come, or forever. The present body subject to mortality is related to a new body subject to eternal life, because the soul spirit moves from the present body at either death or rapture into the new eternal glorious body to have a personality and recognizable characteristic like a rotten seed. Cross references right here. Second Peter 1:12-24. For I am hand pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is a far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh or in the present body is more needful for you. 2 Peter 1:12-14. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. 1 Corinthians 15:51, 54-57. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:14. I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken from it. God does it that man should fear before him. Revelation 4:8. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. 1 Corinthians 15:35-3. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. Verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. This very thing is to inherit the glorious kingdom of God forever. For this very thing, or this self-same thing, God gives us the earnest or guarantee of the Holy Spirit, like the deposit of the earnest money to purchase a building. John 17:24. Father, I desire that also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:13-14. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of a promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Verse 6, so we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. While we live in the body, we are absent in the present body. We are absent from the Lord, who sits in the right hand of God. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I don't see the Lord, but I feel his presence in my heart. So, we live by faith joyfully, as the glorious Lord is with us. 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We have the hope to be present with the Lord, face, departing from the present body. Then we will see face to face in full, even if now we see in a mirror in part. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, that's the faith, the evidence of things not seen. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will show know just as I also am known. So right now in part, but that time in full. Verse 9, therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. Thus our aim is to please God well, whether life or death, Ephesians 1:6, to praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved children of God. Verse 10, question 2. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, doing, whether good or bad. The positional salvation through faith is the gift of God, not over our works or our doings. But each of us may receive an imperishable reward according to his works or doings from the Lord through fire test, either spiritual work or good works, or flesh work, bad work, to be burned. Either the love of God or the love of self, flesh, to be burned. That one is Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you have been saved through peace, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Romans 14:10-12. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give accounts of himself to God. First Corinthians 3:13-15. Each one's work will become clear, for the day, the judgment day, will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's works over what sort it is. If anyone's works which he has built on it endures, he will receive reward. If anyone's works is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. Save the face alone, not the work, yet so as through fire, so without reward. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Do you not know of those who run in a race and run, but one receives the prize, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. We convince people with the terror of the Lord, such as one talent given wicked and religious servants. We are well known to God and in your inner feelings, as Paul trusts. Matthew 25:24-20. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered the seed. And I was afraid, went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered the seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has 10 talents. So 5 talents given, made a profit, 5 talents more, so the 10 talents, you know, the other one given away. Verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. We do not recommend ourselves again to you, but you have an opportunity to boast our hearts to love Christ to those who boast in appearance, out of the heart to love God, rather than inward the heart to love self, such as fleshly achievements of money, power, or glory. For example, much prayer on the street, out of much love of God, but inward the love of self-glory. A lot of donation named on a church brochure, out of the much love of God, but inward the love of money for recruiting customers, or achieving eldership with self-glory. Verse 13, for if we are besides ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of a sound mind, it is for you. Even if we are considered abnormal, it is for God. If we have a sound mind, it is for God, because of our heart to love Christ. Verse 14, question 3. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. We judge ourselves as the heart to love Christ compels or motivates us to become the servants of the Lord to you, not to ourselves. When Christ died for all on the cross, all died with Christ on the cross. Galatians 2:20-21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should live, no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Because the Lord died for us, we should live for him, not for ourselves. We should live according to his word with the love of Christ, not with the violation of his word or lawlessness, nor with the love of ourselves or flesh, money, power, glory. Matthew 7:20-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You have practiced lawlessness. Matthew 6:5-6. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Now, verse 16, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him, thus no longer. We are not interested in flesh thing or fleshly achievement, but in man's spirit, the things that are eternal, not the things that are temporary. Though we have once known Christ after the flesh for his ministry on the earth before crucifixion, now he has ascended. He is in heaven. He is unseen, eternal, not temporal. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. All following things are done by God. God reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ's blood for our sins, from rest relationship between us and God to peace relationship. God has called us his ministers of reconciliation to the world or people. Ephesians 2:13-18. But now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments, constrained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, and to those who were near. For through him we both have access for one spirit to the Father, because of reconciliations with the Father through Jesus Christ. That is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespass to them, and had committed to us the word of reconciliation. God was reconciling people in Christ to himself, from wrath to peace relation, not charging their sins or trespass to them, and called us to deliver the word of reconciliation. That is good news, glad tidings of good things or gospel. is forgiven. Gospel, for example, David is blessed when transgression of the adultery murder is forgiven. Isaiah 57. How beautiful upon mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. 2 Samuel 15:12-13. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. Psalm 31:1-2. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We represent Christ to you, like an ambassador of USA at Germany, represent Germany, you should be reconciled to God in Christ through gospel, followed by growing faith. 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God made Jesus Christ, who had never experienced sin, to bear our sin in the exchange for the righteousness of God in Christ. Upon your faith in Christ, God's righteousness is imputed upon you. It doesn't mean you are perfect now, but be humble yourself under God. Cast all cares upon him and just follow him to be perfect, until you meet the Lord in the glorious kingdom of God forever. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So we covered all three questions. Let's see bulletin page 6 in the Apostles' Creed. That is reminding, you know, constant reminding. So this one is factual statement. This is a factual statement, not, you know, the symbolic. Okay, that is, make sure this is the gospel, good news. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you will be saved. That is the position of salvation. This is a book coverage right there. You may click up whatever you want, the book. It's available here, ebook, paperback, all over there. This one, continue to keep on prayer, persecute, you know, innocent people and Christians. Exodus, you know, particularly here, Burma, and dictatorship. So this missionary, he's a hard to prepare Interpol to deliver innocent victims, innocent Christians to. And the last one is we financial report, you know, first quarter. So we are not seeking of money, but you. So it is spirit, you know, conformed with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our hearts. So keep on praying for them. God bless you.